Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Scales Corporation Limited Full Year Results Conference Call. All participants are in listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Andy Borland, Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Welcome to the Scales Full Year Results Announcement for the year ended 31 December 2022. With me today is our CFO, Steve Kennelly, but Geoff Smith here as well, our Chief Operating Officer. Earlier this morning, we lodged our results with the NZX, including a presentation pack that we'll base our comments on during this call. Steve and I'll run through the slides, then we'll take questions. If you have any further questions after the call, we'll be available for the rest of the day. Our presentation today is in three main parts: a summary of the results for and performance of last year, an outline of our strategy for the Global Proteins division, and an update on the impact of Cyclone Gabrielle, together with the outlook for the current financial year. Regarding Cyclone Gabrielle, I can't emphasize enough the very difficult and stressful situation that this cyclone has put our teams under across the Hawke's Bay, impacting our staff at Mr. Apple, Meateor, Scales Logistics, Fernridge, and Profruit. Our heartfelt sympathy goes out to those who have lost loved ones, and we will support our team and the Hawke's Bay community in every way that we can. Moving on to a summary of last year's result on slide five. We're pleased to report strong group performance with earnings towards the top end of guidance. Underlying NPAT attributable to shareholders was $27.6 million, and reported NPAT attributable to shareholders was $19.4 million. These results are driven by record Global Proteins earnings, which continue to exceed expectations. Horticulture was hampered by market conditions, particularly the lockdowns in China. Logistics also produced a record result. On to slide six, our year in numbers. This slide highlights some key numbers for the group operationally. Global Proteins sold almost 160,000 metric tons of pet food ingredients. Horticulture exported over 4.5 million cartons of apples, and Scales Logistics managed over 27,500 containers. Financially, record revenue of almost $620 million was recorded. ROCE was 14.3%, and we continued to retain net cash for investment purposes. Moving on to sustainability. Our key goal for sustainability in 2022 was to identify risks and opportunities in our business environment and revisit our materiality issues list. This allows us to get clarity on the key areas and have more focus in our action plans. We completed the first group-wide baseline calculations for water, carbon and soil as part of our regenerative orchard trials. The next slide summarises the progress that we've made on some of our sustainability initiatives. As ever, people are our key focus as, without them, we wouldn't be the business that we are. Mr. Apple has built a value proposition program and also two leadership programs to help develop our employees and leaders. We've also re-engaged the Ethical Voice platform, an online survey targeted at our RSE workers, so that we can keep informed about their overall well-being. We're pleased to note that Mr. Apple has consistently scored excellent and exceeded results from 2019. Touching on a few other initiatives, we've completed a decarbonation roadmap outlining key initiatives, CapEx and reduction targets, supported New Zealand Apple and Pears Smart and Sustainable program to investigate the minimisation of sprays, set group-wide climate scenarios, and establish sustainability committees across our divisions. We look forward to going into more detail about some of these schemes in our annual report. I'll now pass over to Steve to run through the financial results for the year.
Thanks, Andy. The table on slide 11 summarises our underlying and reported results for the group. As Andy mentioned earlier, the group delivered excellent results with record earnings for Global Proteins and Logistics. Underlying NPAT attributable to shareholders at $27.6 million was towards the top end of our previously advised guidance range. Reported NPAT attributable to shareholders was $19.4 million. This result includes a number of non-cash IFRS adjustments. Underlying NPAT and EBITDA increased 17% and 6% respectively compared to 2021, and record revenue of $619.2 million was recorded, up 20%. These results were primarily due to growth in the Global Proteins division, both organically and by acquisition. Slide 12 gives our five-year performance graphs for underlying NPAT attributable to shareholders, underlying EBITDA and revenue. The next slide summarises our divisional performance, which illustrates the change in mix of group earnings. Andy will go into further detail later, but I'll summarise the performance of each division here. Global Proteins outperformed expectations, particularly in the second half of the year, to generate an underlying EBITDA of $60.2 million. The division's growth was due to a number of factors, including strong market conditions and new product development, leading to improved volumes, mix and margin. It also included a contribution from the Fayman investments in October 2022. Horticulture experienced extremely difficult operating and trading conditions, particularly in the latter part of the season, with price pressures due to China lockdowns. Lower volumes, higher shipping costs and labour availability earlier in the season also contributed to the result. I'd also like to note that we've made the decision to transfer Profruit into the Horticulture division for reporting purposes, as we believe that Profruit's operations and strategy are better aligned towards those of the Horticulture division. We've updated the prior year comparatives accordingly. Logistics also generated a healthy increase in earnings despite a testing market environment. Slide 14 illustrates the five-year underlying EBITDA trends for our divisions, highlighting the exceptional growth in Global Proteins over the last few years. Slide 15 provides a summary of our financial position. The movement in working capital primarily reflects an increase in trade and other receivables due to market conditions in China and Europe towards the end of the year. This is not a regular occurrence and we expect receivables to return to normal levels. Working capital was also affected by an increase in inventory in the Global Proteins division, consistent with revenue growth. The movement in non-current assets mainly reflects CapEx, revaluation of land, buildings and apple trees, a reset to the IFRS 16 leases calculation for Mr. Apple, and also the investment in Fayman. Our movement in net cash primarily relates to dividend payments, including those to minority shareholders, and the investment in Fayman. And I'll now hand back to Andy.
Thanks, Steve. Moving on to the Global Proteins on slide 17, the division generated a 6% increase in volumes from around 149,000 metric tonne to around 159,000 metric tonne. Given the primarily edible nature of products sold, we haven't incorporated Fayman's product volumes into the volume of pet food sold by Meateor and Shelby. However, over 9,000 metric tonne of product was sold by Fayman during November and December. Revenue increased 46% with underlying EBITDA increasing 80%. The increase in profitability was due to a number of factors, including significant operational efficiencies following development investment at processing sites, the impact of new product development, which is returning higher margins, leadership team with long-term customer relationships enabling expansion of geographic reach and product range, changes in product, customer and market mix, and profit contribution from Fayman since completion, which is equity accounted. To slide 18, moving on to the Horticulture division, it's fair to say that it was a difficult year for horticulture with a number of challenges presented to the business. Whilst revenue was only down 6% on last year, underlying EBITDA decreased from around $41 million to around $17 million. There was a 9% decrease in Mr. Apple total own grown export volumes. Volumes of traditional premium varieties were down 12 and 7% respectively, although we did see pleasing growth in Dazzle and Prince volumes. Earnings and volumes were impacted by the factors mentioned earlier by Steve. This next slide summarises horticulture's main KPIs. A number of the difficulties that affected apple volumes also affected pricing. However, whilst we had an overall decrease in apple prices, premium varieties achieved an overall slight increase in price, confirming our strategy of investing in these varieties. Profruit continues to perform well as an integral part of our vertically integrated business. Turning to logistics, Logistics produced an exceptional full-year result despite continued global supply chain sector difficulties, with a 51% increase in revenue and a 33% increase in underlying EBITDA. Whilst there was a 9% decrease in ocean freight volumes managed, air freight volumes increased by 52%. Once again, the skill and expertise of the logistics team has been in evidence in 2022. We believe this is a key advantage for Scales' internal divisions as well as the logistics external freight customers. Moving on to capital management. Both Global Proteins and Logistics exhibited significant growth in their return on capital employed percentages in 2022. Horticulture's ROCE was impacted by its lower earnings. Overall group ROCE was 14.3%, in excess of our target of 12.5%. Horticulture continued to account for the majority of CapEx, which included the orchard redevelopment and Whakatū Packhouse automation programs. Shelby commenced an investment program in plant machinery which will allow an increases in volume. Future investment will be prioritised towards Global Proteins given its strong growth prospects and return on investment. We're mindful of our desire to maintain appropriate cash levels and we're keen to retain strength in our balance sheet for potential investment opportunities. I'd like to now move on to the next part of our presentation, which is to provide some more additional background to our strategy for the Global Proteins division. This is the exciting part of this morning's presentation. We're extremely optimistic about Global Proteins. We've positioned ourselves in a series of partnerships that have very long-standing enduring relationships with both customers and suppliers. The strength of these relationships, coupled with our added value processes and history, continue to mean that Scales maintains a strong strategic presence in the industry. The industry is supported by many macro tailwinds, including the global growth of the middle class and its associated demand for protein. We see no abatement in the demand for protein for the foreseeable future. Given its nature, we believe that the sector is resilient against market cycles as well as producing above average returns on investment. The worldwide nature of the opportunities in front of us allows us to leverage our existing networks, with our near-term focus pointed towards establishing a new plant and business in Melbourne, ongoing multiple opportunities in the USA, and a potential new venture in Europe. Looking at slide 25 and demand drivers, our pet food customers in the USA are particularly optimistic about the future and are investing substantial sums, more than $2.4 billion is committed in 2022 alone, to meet future demand. This additional capacity progressively comes on stream over the next 2 years. Supply chains and sourcing of raw materials have been identified as the biggest future production challenges for pet food manufacturers. Meateor and Shelby have a very experienced and well-connected leadership team and have developed deep relationships with customers over 25 years, which gives us confidence that we will participate alongside our customers in this growth. Consequently, we're investing in broadening and expanding our own capacity within the US to support current customers and internationally support many of those same customers with their global businesses. Slide 26 and Scales value proposition. Scales is uniquely positioned to benefit from the future growth in the proteins market. Our unique advantages include extensive and long-standing relationships with some of the biggest FMCG companies in the world, deep domain knowledge including processing IP and know-how and a comprehensive understanding of the market, a wide range of supply relationships spreading multiple markets and covering a broad base of proteins, supply chain excellence. We continue to deliver on time and to specification. Even through the pandemic, all customers were supplied successfully. We have our own in-house or captive logistics and supply chain functions to be able to continue to provide this level of service. We exist to solve problems for our suppliers and add value to our customers. In some cases, we're dealing with lower value or waste stream byproducts that need to be removed from our suppliers' factories regularly and consistently so that our suppliers can focus on their core business. We then repurpose these products into value-added proteins. So to our global ambitions. As a, as, as a, As a result of the opportunities I've just described, we have global ambitions for our Global Proteins division. As shown on this slide, we already have significant operations in New Zealand, Australia and North America. With Europe being the second largest market for pet food and with many of our existing customers operating in this market, we're keen to extend our operations into Europe. As a result, discussions on potential opportunities are currently taking place and we look forward to updating you on progress in due course. Further info on our game plan, the value chain. Slide 28 summarises our value chain, from sourcing raw material proteins to production and shipping of high quality products and finally through to sale of these products to the three main markets for animal byproducts. Whilst we have previously concentrated on the supply of pet food, we also supply to the pharmaceutical industry and with the investment in Fayman, now supply to the edible proteins market, particularly in Asia. It's our plan to grow our presence within each of these end markets. The continuation of this is on slide 29. The structure that we have in place today is a result of careful planning. We specifically target existing in-market players with strong existing relationships and find a way to partner with them. We'll continue to adopt this strategy for growth. Once we've invested, we'll leverage our existing experience and relationships to achieve win-win synergies and growth across the expanded group. Our current investment parameters will ensure that potential opportunities have strong earnings and cash flows, which allow a significant portion to flow back to the parent company. Looking at the US case study, some key milestones. Slide 30 shows that our investment in Shelby is the template for successful partnerships. Since our investment in late 2018, the business has achieved growth in all areas, including a 60% increase in volume sold enabled through new product development, leveraging the shareholders' existing know-how and product knowledge complemented with investment in plant and machinery. Significant expansion in the team, expanding its sales, marketing, procurement, manufacturing and back office capabilities. Ongoing development of multiple growth initiatives, some of which will come to fruition in the near term. We believe that we can replicate this model with other investments. Moving to the impact of Cyclone Gabrielle and the 2023 outlook. I'll give you a short update on the impact of Cyclone Gabrielle on Scales. Firstly, and most importantly, we're extremely pleased to report that all our team members are safe and well. However, there are many people who have experienced significant loss or disruption as a result of this event. The Hawke's Bay community, its people and its culture are an integral part of Scales. Accordingly, Scales is donating $250,000 to the recovery. We'll also be providing tailored assistance to those staff members who have been particularly affected. As you'll appreciate, in terms of our businesses, given the scale of Gabrielle's impact, we're still assessing and understanding the full effect that the cyclone has had on our operations. As we previously advised, three of our orchards, being Brookfields, Kinross and Parkawai, have been extensively damaged, with Pylos Orchard sustaining moderate damage. Our other orchards haven't sustained any material damage. The four orchards mentioned cover around 318 hectares, approximately 28% of our planted orchard area, and include plantings of Raw Gala, Pink Lady, New Zealand Queen, Fuji, Dazzle and Posy. Of the posy fruit, a majority has been picked prior to the cyclone and floods hitting. We'd like to note that there is still some unaffected fruit on these orchards that we will pick and export. We'll continue to update you as further information becomes available. Moving on to our final section of the presentation, the outlook for 2023. As previously advised, due to the impacts of Cyclone Gabrielle, we've taken the step to withdraw our FY23 profit guidance at this time. However, we expect to provide updated guidance as soon as practicable once the financial impacts of the cyclone are fully understood. Notwithstanding recent events and also as previously announced, we will be delivering our dividend payments in three instalments this year. The first instalment of 6 cents per share was paid in January. We intend to pay the second instalment of 3.5 cents per share on 31st of March 2023 and we'll review and advise on the third instalment in early May. It's then our intention from 2023 onwards that our dividend policy will revert to 50 to 75% of underlying net profit after tax attributable to shareholders. That ends the formal presentation, although we point you to the Appendix A of the slide pack, which provides additional financial information and reconciles underlying earnings to reported earnings for each of our divisions as well as the group. We're now happy to take any questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Joshua Dale with Craigs Investment Partners.
Good morning, Andy. Good morning, Steve. Just firstly, I want to talk about food ingredients. This was obviously an exceptional performance, and you previously mentioned it may not be wise to continue to extrapolate growth from record results, but in this result, you sound very confident about the future of the division. It's sort of a change in messaging. Can you talk to that, please?
Well, we are confident about its growth, prospects, definitely. So it's just with the projects that we've got on, they are going to contribute to, future earnings, particularly from 2024. So, if you think, if we've got, a factory underway in Melbourne, it'll be fully up and running during the second half of this year, but, full contribution will be 2024 for that business. And, particularly in the USA, just with the various initiatives we've got going with both our suppliers and our customers, we're confident of the growth continuing.
Thanks. I suppose what I was getting to is, in I think one of your previous results you had mentioned, you were able to take advantage of your competitors not supplying. There was inventory stocking. Are any of those one-off issues that may have boosted previous results, are they present in this result? And, can
I think
you
there's an element
that,
of, yeah, there is an element of the COVID impact in that in the 2022 result. People, not just in the pet food sector, but a lot of manufacturers stockpiled, raw material to protect against supply chain disruption. So there was a bit of that, and we are seeing, moderate, adjustments in that market. But I think we're sort of mitigating that effect with these new product initiatives we've got going. We've put new plant into that Amarillo site. The Dodge City facility is really kicking into gear with a couple of new initiatives going on there too, and we think those will help, offset the positivity that was created by, that COVID demand, stockpiling aspect of what our customers were doing.
Yeah, that's helpful. And just last question on food ingredients. How much of a forward read do you typically get in terms of demand from your customers? How far ahead does the order book typically look?
Yeah, that's a harder one. It is more of a, just watching our stock levels, just talking to our customers, if they've got new, we've signalled in our announcement, the extra facilities that are being built by our customers in the USA. So they're coming to us now, talking to us about, how are you going to supply us with the ingredients we need to fill these factories. So, we're actively talking to them now about how to supply those factories.
Great. That's really helpful. Thanks, Andy. Just moving on to the horticulture division. For the 4 orchards that were damaged, do you have any early indications around whether some replanting will be needed?
Well, we replant every year, so, it's a sort of a biological process. Clearly, we've got some potentially new target areas post this storm, but look, it's too early to say, what we're going to do at the moment, and you know, that's why we've, you know, taken the step of withdrawing the guidance. It's just, it's the guys there are really in, you know, tidy up mode, but you know, they're actually removing dead animals from some of those orchards. The bins have been scattered to here and back again. You know, so we're really in cleanup mode at the moment, and working on, you know, the assessment of what we're going to do next is sort of probably in the next phase. It's chaotic.
Sure. Okay.
There at the moment. Absolutely chaotic there at the moment. There's no doubt about that.
Makes sense. So for the three you were saying were extensively damaged and one that was moderately damaged, it's fair to say that the trees in there are, you know, I guess, are they damaged to the point of not being able to produce fruit anymore, and you know, therefore you'll have to make a decision around replanting, or can you just sort of, you know, I think you mentioned 318 hectares. Those orchards cover 318 hectares, but do you have a sense of how many hectares are, you know, completely wiped, so to speak?
We just haven't got that information available, you know, at this stage, because we just don't know the, you know, the trees gonna that are under the silt, you know, what layer of silt's too much, you know, which, how many are going to die. It's too early to predict, to assess, make that assessment at the moment. And hence, we want to update the market iteratively, you know, over the next, you know, weeks, to keep you informed. But we're better to do it on, you know, good assessments rather than, you know, just, you know, having hunches.
Yep, I appreciate that. And of the four impacted orchards, are they leased or owned?
There's a mixture. Combination, yeah, there's a mixture of freehold and leasehold in those orchards.
Okay, is it, I mean, can you sort of tell us out of the four how many are leased and how many are owned?
Yep, it's 50-50.
Just last one for me. You know, within your horticulture division, there's obviously costs you bear in any given year. Do you have an idea of how, you know, the split between fixed and variable costs? Just a rough estimate?
No, not at this stage. I think, as Andy said, it's sort of too early to make any financial statements at this stage. So we want to do that proper detailed assessment of the orchards and the likely impact, and then we'll talk to that.
Okay. I mean, even just for historic numbers in that division, is there any idea or any steer you can give us? Is it sort of, you know, perhaps 50-50 or just rough numbers?
No, I just don't have that at this stage.
Okay. No, that's fine. Thanks very much, Andy and Steve. Appreciate that.
Yes.
Your next question comes from Christian Bell with Jarden.
Morning, guys. If I could just follow on with the horticulture stuff. If you do need to replant on the 318 hectares of extensively / moderately damaged orchards, say you do the assessments and you find that you do need to replant there, at this stage, do you remain committed to actually replanting those, or you know, will you forfeit a portion of that land, perhaps the leased land, and then replant on your own land?
We haven't made any of those decisions yet, Christian. It's sorry, but it's just too early to make those decisions, you know, because we haven't had the analysis to work it out.
Okay. And then I guess, you know, in the past, part of the margin recovery in the orchard business depended on automation projects. End of last year, you had said that you weren't going to do that in 2023. I mean, with all that's going on and potential, you know, capital required given this event, do you still remain committed to those gross margin initiatives for horticulture?
Yeah, we do, absolutely, because, you know, we're always looking to improve the margin in the business and recover the margin that's been, you know, lost to us. I guess we're seeing some, you know, improvement in freight rates, you know, even this event's improved the freight rates already, we think. But in the, you know, we finished off last year, we got the robotic palletizing done in our Big Wakatu store, and a sort of a, we're pushing them through the wall into the adjacent building, and so we got that all done. So that was a net credit already. Doing the full, roboticisation, if you like, of the pack house is definitely on hold, and we'll pick that up, you know, in the next year or so, I would say. But our focus would be on replanting, and particularly, you know, continuing the replanting to move to Asia. So that will be will help our margin improvement. And we also had the style of tree planting we had was improving our margin. So, you know, that'll continue. So I think that the on initiatives will be continuing. We'll probably just stall the next phase of the pack house until, you know, we get our heads around this latest replanting, you know, program.
Okay, cool. Thanks. And then just in relation to this year's crop, even of the apples, therefore, you know, survivals, you'll be able to salvage and sell through to your market. How are you thinking about pricing? I mean, do you think there's likely to be quality issues or storability issues that could mean slightly weaker pricing in 2023?
Well, we don't know that yet. We've got a good crop. What and the rest of the orchards is a very good crop. Would we prefer, you know, a hot, dry rest of the summer and autumn? Absolutely. That would help the crop's quality. We've got, the good technology in our pack houses to look for internal browning issues and that sort of thing, so we'll be mindful of that. But, look, we think we've got a, you know, good quality crop to sell, and more importantly, and these events is normally a positive impact, dare I say it, on, you know, the remaining export crop, you know, as to price.
Okay, cool. And then if I could switch focus to global protein, I guess following on from the previous question, so are you saying that you do envisage margins remaining up around the 18% despite the sort of tailwind that was provided by COVID in the last couple of periods?
Look, we don't see it sort of absolutely falling away, and whether we can hold it there, it's just really it's down to the combination of the products we're selling, you know, the demand that we're seeing. So, you know, we're continuing to grow the business. So I think, you know, I mentioned these other, you know, the CapEx that we've done and the efficiencies we've done and the new product mixes we've done, they're all combining to create the positive result that we had. So, you know, as we look for, you know, through this year, you know, we'll be wanting to see that, you know, we would see it, if you like, definitely stabilise this year and with what we've got going in, you know, in terms of projects in 2023, we can see 2024 looking, you know, growth.
All right. Given all of those sort of projects going on and the fact that your initial kind of guidance for second half 22 was more around $20 million of EBITDA based on the second half 21 number, I think it was, and then you produced $30 million. Just in terms of run rate, do you reckon it's fair to use the $30 million EBITDA number as a run rate going forward?
You're talking about Kiwis there or US dollars?
New Zealand. I think in our original guidance, we sort of alluded to maybe a bit of a lower result for FY23 in global proteins, but we're not really seeing that fall off at all. And as Andy talked about, you know, the margins are staying there. I think it's, you know, we're more confident of that result. And look, 60 million, will we get there? We'd like to get there for FY23. And as Andy said, there's also some growth initiatives going on in future years. So I think we're more confident of that or around that level.
Okay, great. And then, I mean, just given that you, in your slide deck, you said that it's been identified in the supply chain that the biggest future challenges is around kind of the space that you play in. And then given the returns that you are making, are you expecting more competition to emerge, which would inevitably drive those returns down?
Well, you never say never, do you? Like, you don't know what the competition is doing, but, you know, we just know what we're good at. You know, we've got some real good plans in place to drive, you know, the business and the growth. We're going to look at these new markets. You know, we're working hard with our customers to keep the supply up to them. So, you know, concentrating on ourselves is very, you know, that's the key thing for our business. Those relationships with the suppliers, you know, are really, I guess, long lasting. You know, we're key to their supply, and we see that continuing.
Are there any reasons why any potential competition wouldn't sort of why your customers wouldn't move to a competitor? Like how long are your contracts? Why would they remain with you if someone sort of comes along?
Some of them are 25 years plus long. You know, some of them are, you know, ever since we've been in business, because, you know, where our plants are versus where their plants are, you know, the distance, you know, even, you know, the distance factor away from each other is a, you know, mitigation to competition. They've got to come into our patch. They've got to get equipment into the abattoirs. You know, we've got equipment in a lot of the abattoirs that helps the collection process. You know, that's our equipment. So, you know, we've built up a network of, you know, both relationships and equipment and CapEx and facilities that are aligned to our suppliers, both our suppliers, you know, supply chain, and then obviously, you know, to our customer supply chain. So, you know, it's not that simple for someone to just, you know, start up from scratch.
Okay, cool. And then just the final one, you talked about in the last presentation, I can't remember, that your contract with your supplier in Australia was sort of coming up to the end of that contract at the end of this year. Are you sort of planning on renegotiating that or at a higher rate? What's going on there?
Yeah, well, the only thing that's really changed is the exclusivity. You know, it's you know, they can go to other people, but, you know, we are very keen to continue to trade their product, you know, to work with them. And so, yeah, it's really just an evolution. You know, we're setting up that plant in Melbourne, so we'll be doing our own thing as well. But we absolutely want to, you know, continue to, you know, to work with that partner.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Margaret Bay with Forsyth Barr.
Hey, Andy and Steve. Glad to hear your team members are safe after the cyclone. I might start there. In terms of the damage at those four sites, can you talk through what are the implications of not really having the crop insurance, and also possibly what other types of insurance you have, anything that you could possibly clean back, for example?
Yeah, we've got full, plant and equipment, buildings, you know, material damage claims. Policies. If there's any impact in our, you know, packing business, there's BI cover in there. But we, you know, so it's a comprehensive package of insurance on the physical assets. On the crop insurance one, you know, it's getting harder and harder to get crop insurance for, you know, the horticulture industry, and you know that's probably the reality of life. We're going to keep looking and keep negotiating to see if we can, you know, re-establish, you know, crop insurance, because we see it as a good, you know, risk mitigation. But that's the reality of what we've got today.
And just to clarify, the plant, the trees themselves, is there any insurance over them?
No, there's not.
Okay. All right, just on the Global Proteins division, I think based on the numbers you've put out today in your report, Fayman's estimated share of NPAT for you guys is about New Zealand 2 million across October and December. Please correct me if I'm wrong. And second, can you please talk us through whether this is a normal run rate for the business or if there's seasonality, et cetera?
So that number, Margaret, is our included in our reported NPAT. So that includes some opening investment adjustments. So no, it's not typical of the run rate. The underlying number is probably closer to $500,000. And for that period, their trading was down, but we expect them to revert to what expectations were at time of purchase going forward.
And what were your expectations at the time of purchase?
Their contribution to us at an impact level is probably 2-3 million, something like that, I think, at the top of my head.
Great, thank you. Now, you've mentioned quite a few CapEx and other investment opportunities, especially in Global Proteins, but, you know, also things across horticulture. I was just wondering, how much capital or cash do you have left to deploy after the Fayman and new factory acquisitions?
The net cash position 31 December was $27 million, but bearing in mind is... we've got elevated trade receivables related to horticulture, and there's also an increase in inventory levels in Global Proteins. So some of that will abate. So our cash level is probably slightly higher than that. So we still do have adequate cash for investments going forward.
I see. I know you've previously mentioned that while you're waiting to deploy that cash, you're sort of using it to offset your working capital, which makes sense. So I guess in that case, what are your expectations of CapEx over the next couple of years? How much are you expecting to spend on these initiatives?
I think our CapEx budget for this year was around about what we spent last year, and that would probably be a standard amount going forward. But obviously, that we're going to have to have another look at that when we get the full assessment of the cyclone impact.
That makes sense. That's all for me. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. I will now hand back to Mr. Boylan for closing remarks.
Okay. Well, look, thanks very much. I appreciate your patience and understanding during, you know, what is this pretty unprecedented event we've had in Hawke's Bay. So, look, we'll keep you informed as we gather, you know, new information and updated information. And, yeah, we appreciate the support you give us. We'll update you again as soon as we can.